Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our evening worship service in Kilrats. The following are the ordinary announcements. The Presbytery, the Northern Presbytery, is due to meet on Wednesday evening of this week, 7:30 in Ballymoney. Thursday evening, then, there's a women's fellowship meeting here in Kilrats in the session room at 8 o'clock, and that's to discuss resuming the women's fellowship here in Kilrats and what form that would take, how regularly the meetings might be, and so on. If you want to see Women's Fellowship resuming, come along on Thursday evening for that meeting, and then the CY meets on Friday at 7:30 in the upper room. Next Lord's Day, the meetings are all on at the normal times. Tuesday night of this week is the closing meeting of the Reformed Theological College. It's been held in Drumara on this occasion. It's 8 o'clock in Drumara. The moderator of Synod, Reverend Geoffrey Allen, is due to speak, as is one of the students, Mr. Kenny Stevenson. My apologies to those who asked me for the link to watch that online. I haven't got that with me at the minute, but I can get that to you in time for Tuesday evening. Then Wednesday evening is the final event in the Ballylagan Women's Fellowship Walk, Talk and Eat evenings, and that's at 7 o'clock this Wednesday. Those are the regular announcement, but I have an additional announcement that I need to make this evening. As I said this morning, there was a congregational meeting today in Ballylagan, and Reverend Tim Donaghy, who's serving as pulpit supply there at present for just over 3 months, he chaired that meeting, and I was delayed here at church today waiting for the defibrillator to be returned, and pretty much the minute I got home, the phone rang, and Tim Donaghy informed me that the Ballylagan meeting resulted in a call being made, and that call was to myself, and so I have been called today by the Ballylagan congregation, and therefore I needed to phone myself to inform me that I have been called to Ballylagan, but I couldn't get myself. I seemed to be engaged the whole afternoon. So that's just something that has happened today. And our Northern Presbytery is due to meet on Wednesday evening, so probably that call will be brought to the Northern Presbytery for it to deal with, and the Presbytery would make any arrangements in regard to, there would be, if the call has been made properly, there would be a meeting arranged for the two congregations to appoint representatives. There'll be a meeting at which representatives from the two congregations would speak to the call. So these things are all to be decided in the future, and some decisions will probably be made on Wednesday night at Presbytery as to when things will be scheduled for. It was the 23rd of April 2005 when I phoned Elliot and Warren and four men in Scotland to say that I was accepting the call. Accepting the call to Kilrats. It is the same date today that I've received a call away from. In the providence of God, that has come about, that it has been on the same date. And so I would ask you to, as I know you will, just to remember me in your prayers. It's a difficult... It's a difficult situation, being interim moderator in a congregation and then being called to that congregation, and so just appreciate your prayers. And I think that's all I can say. Now let us seek to worship God together, singing his praise. We sing part of Psalm 119, part 2a, singing the four stanzas of part 2a, Psalm 119. The tune is Hesperus, number 14. Second stanza says, "Your word I've stored within my heart, that I against you may not sin. O Lord, may you be blessed indeed. O teach to me your statutes then." Stanza 4, "I'll on your precepts meditate, and all your ways I will respect. I in your statutes will delight. Your word I never will neglect." Throughout Psalm 119, it's speaking about the importance of God's word and the need to remember the word of God and not neglect the word of God, and the need to store up the word of God in our heart so that it is there to guide us in life. And so we sing part 2a of Psalm 119, the tune Hesperus, number 14. We stand to sing and remain standing for prayer. Let us. Speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can draw near to you and worship now this evening. We give thanks, Lord, for these songs that you give us in your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the preciousness of your word. We thank you that it is something that is of great value when it is stored up within our hearts. And, O Lord, we confess and acknowledge that often your word isn't stored up within our heart, but it just washes off us, and it doesn't make its impact upon us. And we pray that you'll forgive us for not being shaped by your word as we should be. We pray that you will help us in this evening hour of worship. We pray for your blessing upon the scriptures that will be read. And as your word, as it's preached, we pray, O God, that you will help us to look to you and trust in you and to know the kind of God that you are. We thank you, O Lord, that your plans are eternal plans, that they do not have to be reshuffled or changed around. We thank you that you know the end from the beginning, that you have all in hand. And Lord, we praise you that your plans for your people are good plans, and that we can have no reason to doubt that. Hear us now as we bring you our worship. Work among us by your Holy Spirit, and bring about, O Lord, what would be good and pleasing to you. For we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, William is going to bring us our scripture readings, which will be from John chapter 21 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Our first reading is from John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15, and we're reading to verse 19, and it can be found on page 963 of the Pew Bible. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And our second reading is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 1 to verse 10, and that's on page 1027 in the Pew Bible. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, William, for that scripture reading. We sing praise to God from Psalm 105, singing from the beginning of the psalm. First five stanzas, tune Wiltshire 178. Stanza 4 instructs God's people to remember the things that God has done. Remember now the miracles, the judgments of his voice, seed of his servant Abraham, O Jacob's sons, his choice. And then in stanza 5, it is God who does the remembering. He is the Lord our God. In all earth are his judgments known. Forever he remembered has the covenant that's his own. And God is a God who remembers always the covenant that he enters into. It's not something that he's going to forget. And we are to be like God. We are to remember the things that really matter. And the things that really matter are the things of God. And so we're to remember what he has done. Psalm 105, the first five stanzas to the tune 178, will stand as we sing God's praise together.
Sing praise to him, proclaim the one.
We read again from God's Word, turning to 2 Peter chapter 1, page 1079 in our Pew Bible. And read again the verses that we were looking at this morning from verse 8 to 11. And then I want to read also from verse 12 through to 15. And these are the words that I want to speak on this evening. 2 Peter chapter 1, and reading from verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And we end our reading there at verse 15 in 2 Peter chapter 1. This sermon is under the title, Remember, Remember, Remember. So what have you forgotten in the last week? What was it that you were trying to remember that you weren't able to remember? Or do you still remember what it was that you forgot? Maybe it was someone's name. You knew who they were, but that name just would not come to you at all. Maybe there was a deadline and you forgot all about that deadline until it was passed. It is a great blessing to have a good memory. And if you have a good memory, you should be very thankful for that good memory and not take it for granted that you will always have a good memory. Like every part of our constitution, our memory is affected by the fall. Our memory has been corrupted by sin, and our memory doesn't work as it might work were we free from sin. Sometimes you will find it the case that you are able to forget so easily the things that are important. You will also find that it is impossible to forget the things that you would most like to forget. Those things stick in your mind. And you will find that there will be useless things that you'll be able to remember, whereas the things that are really useful, you really struggle. My 11 plus number was 10075. Now, what use has that ever been to me? But here I am, 59 years old, and I still remember that number. In the four verses that I want to speak on this evening from 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter speaks three times about wanting to remind God's people about important things, the key things of the gospel. In our reading this morning at verse 9, he talks about how people can forget that we have been cleansed from our old sins. And here in these verses, there are three places where Peter speaks about a reminder to the people of God. And the first reminder is in verse 12. The opening word connects connects to what goes before. He's been talking about the need to press on in the faith, the need to be sure of our salvation, and the certainty of a rich, abundant welcome into the eternal kingdom. Peter writes in verse 12, he says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." So this is the first of three reminders. This is the first reminder that we have in verse 12. He says, "I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, although you know them, and although you are established in the present truth." Because of the great importance of the things that Peter has already written about, he says that he's going to work hard at reminding his readers about these things. And Peter is writing to Christians. He's writing to people who he says are established in the present truth. He's not writing to newcomers to the faith who need to learn for the first time the ABCs of what Christianity is all about. But these people are established in the truth. And Peter's readers already know these things that he's going to remind them of. You can only be reminded of something that you already know. If you don't know it, you can't be reminded of it. And so he is intent on reminding them of the things they already know. And this is something that is a great need for all Christians. And as long as we live in this present world, we will have a great need to remember the basics of the Christian faith. There are things that just simply need to be set before us again and again and again so that we will not forget them. And Peter doesn't have in mind a mere remembering of facts. His concern is that our lives should be shaped and directed by the truths of the Christian faith. For example, we may not forget the fact that we are sinners, but we can be guilty of living as if we're not sinners. If we're not in the habit of confessing our sin, well then, where is the evidence that we really believe that we are sinners? So it's a practical forgetfulness that Peter is concerned about. You can know these things, but in practice you can live as if you don't know these things at all. And so Peter realizes our need to be reminded of the essentials of the Christian faith. And that's why we need to keep on reading the Word of God for ourselves. We need to be reminded day after day after day of what really matters, of what is really worthwhile. We need to see every day that we are sinners saved only by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And we need to see that each day we need God's grace for the lives we've been given to live. We need to be reminded that our times are in God's hands, that God is wise, that God is mighty, that God knows what is for our good. We need to be reminded all the time that we are here in this world not to be served, but to serve. We need to see ourselves as people whom God has rescued from the scrap heap and who have been wonderfully recruited and put in a position where we work for Him. And so we need to take time daily to allow God to remind us of what really matters. Do you remember each day to think of yourself as you really are, to look in that mirror of God's Word, and to be what God has called you to be and what God has saved you to be? We all need regular reminders for what we believe in the Christian life and how we are to live the Christian life. And without those regular reminders, we just fall into our own way of thinking rather than God's ways. We slip back into our own thoughts, and it is God's thoughts that we need to be trained in. And we need more than just to read the scriptures for ourselves and thereby be reminded of God's truth. We also need to hear the word of God in public worship. And God gives preachers to his church in order to remind the people of God of the things that we need reminded of. And each Lord's Day, as we begin a new week, we can come together and we can hear something that God wants us to consider, something to take to heart and something to live out. And often what you hear preached when you come to the place of worship, it won't be anything new. It'll not be something that you've never heard of in all your life. One of the greatest British preachers of the last century, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he wrote that the business of the church and of preaching is not to present us with new and interesting ideas. It is rather to go on reminding us of certain fundamental and eternal truths. And that's what we all need, and we all need it again and again. Never at any stage in the Christian life do we reach the place where we're able to just live for Christ automatically. We always need to be reminded of the truth, reminded of the truth of the sinners that we are. We always need to be reminded of the great Savior that we have, and to trust him and obey him. And always we need to be reminded that in him we have eternal life that is freely given. We simply forget so easily. We forget ordinary things in life so easily, and we forget the things of the gospel so easily. And so we need to be reminded regularly. And so Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. So that's his first reminder. And then the second reminder is in verses 13 and 14. And in these verses, he indicates a special urgency that he felt as he sets about the task of reminding his readers of God's truth. Peter knew that he would not be with them for much longer. He knew that he would not be alive for much longer. He wouldn't be around to remind them of the things that they needed to remember. And so he writes in verses 13 and 14, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Now, it wasn't that Peter had some terminal illness. That wasn't why he didn't have long to live. Neither was it because he had some premonition or some dark sense of foreboding. No, it was because of what the Lord Jesus Christ had told him. And I believe this is a reference to what William read from John chapter 21. After Jesus tells Peter to feed and tend his sheep and lambs, Jesus then says to Peter, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And then John the Apostle writes, "This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God." And it is generally held that Peter died a martyr's death in the last few years of the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero, somewhere in the mid-60s AD. And Peter knew that day was drawing ever nearer. and that soon the opportunity for him to preach and to write would be gone. And so for that reason, he seeks and wants to do as much reminding as he can. And he wants to stir up his readers by means of his reminders. It is in our human nature, we are inclined to get settled in life. We're inclined to get settled in our faith. And sometimes, in the providence and will of God, we need to be stirred up and we need to be refreshed. And Peter wanted to use his remaining time on earth for that good purpose of seeking to stir up and refresh the people of God. And it is a good thing that those who are older in life seek to remind those who are younger of what does matter in life. And the words of the older generation can be remembered for many years and passed on to future generations. And Peter is an older believer at this stage. And he wants to say things that will remind those coming on behind him of the vital things of the gospel. So this second reminder he gives in verses 13 and 14 is written in the consciousness that his life is drawing to an end. Well, then the third reminder is in verse 15. And Peter is looking ahead to the day when he will not be with them in the flesh. He won't be there to remind them of anything. And so he desires to make provision for them when he is no longer with them. And he writes, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." And Peter's expressed desire is that after he has died, there will still be some way by which his readers will be reminded of the things that he is now reminding them of. Now, what does Peter mean by this? How is he going to be careful to ensure that they'll always have a reminder of these important gospel truths? Well, it could be a reference to his intention and practice of training others to do the work that he's not going to be around to do. He could be referring to human reminders, to men being trained to preach God's truth, even as in our denomination at our theological college, it's some of our older ministers who are training the men who are the theological students. So it could be human reminders. On the other hand, it could refer to something written, something that Peter was going to write, so that although he wouldn't be with them, that his writings would still be there. And of course, today we are reading these very words that Peter wrote. Peter died some 1,960 years ago, and we have a reminder of him and a reminder of his teachings through the letters that form part of our Bible. And so some scholars would believe that Peter, in this verse 15, he's really just referring to this very letter that he is writing. And although Peter will soon be gone, what we call Second Peter wouldn't be gone. And here it is, and it's part of the scriptures being read by people throughout the earth today. And what Peter writes throughout this second epistle is a good reminder of key things of the Christian faith. There are other scholars who believe that Peter has actually something different in mind, and that he is speaking about the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel is believed to have been written with the assistance of the Apostle Peter. And if that is what he has in mind, well, today we have the Gospel of Mark reminds us of the things that Christ did and the things that Christ taught, and we still have it as a reminder of those great things. So whatever it was that Peter had in mind, whether it is physical living reminders or whether it is the written reminders, he's going to be careful, he says. He's going to be careful to ensure that people always have a reminder of these things. In the remaining time that he had on this earth, he was going to make this a top priority. People need to be reminded of the key things of the gospel. And Peter knew that whatever number of generations of believers there would be to come, they would always need to be reminded of the central things. And so this is the key thought in these verses, that we need to keep on remembering the key things of the gospel. We're not to be going off exploring all sorts of strange and exotic teachings, but we're to remember the things that are central, to keep on remembering those things. And I want to conclude by noting the way the Apostle Peter refers to his own death, which he knows is coming soon. And this in itself is a part of his work of reminding us how we are to think about ourselves and about our own death. There are two phrases that he uses. The first is in verse 14, where verse 13 and 14, he talks in verse 13 about presently being in this tent. And then in verse 14, he talks about his death. And what is that? He says, shortly, I must put off my tent. And so Peter reminds us here that our earthly body is like a tent. Our earthly body is a temporary dwelling place. And William read earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul uses the same image, that our earthly body is like a tent. And what you see when you look in the mirror is a reflection of the tent in which you live. You don't see yourself, you see the tent in which you live. The tent is a bit like a tent that we have in our garage. And every year we wonder, will this tent be usable? There are so many faults to it. The tent, our tent, the tent of our body, it's getting a bit worn. It's not going to last. And one day, each of us will have to put off that tent. And we will have to move on for a time to a situation where no tent will be required. And between death and the resurrection, we don't have a tent. Our spirit doesn't have a tent in which to dwell. But at God's appointed time, at the resurrection, we will have our new body, and our new body will not be like a tent that wears out and gets damaged, but it will be like a building. And no longer will we be like the plebs who live in the campsite, but we will be like the princes and the princesses who live in the castle. For now, we live in a tent, but for eternity, we live in a palace, we live in a castle, we live in that which is permanent and lasting. And Peter speaks about his death as being putting off of his tent. And we put off the tent in order to enter into something that is much better than a tent. The other phrase that Peter uses to refer to his death is found in verse 15, New King James. It's the last word in the verse. He refers to my decease. Other translations have it my departure. He speaks of his departure, and he is referring to his death. The word is used in two other places in the New Testament, And we saw one of them recently in the Gospel of Luke. It's a word that literally means my exodus. And it's used in Hebrews 11, verse 22, where it says, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel." And the children of Israel were going to depart from Egypt. And they were going to go to a better place. They were going to go to the promised land. And Peter speaks about his decease or his departure. He's going to leave, but he's going to a better place. Similarly, in Luke 9, verse 30 and 31, we're told how two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. This is at the top of the mount. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. And Jesus was about to leave his people. His departure was at hand. His exodus was coming. But for Christ, that was a glorious thing. It was a great thing for the Lord Jesus to leave this earth of suffering and trials and testing, to go back to his Father in heaven, and all that was glorious. I've spent a bit of time, more time than I intended, in recent weeks at airports. And in the airport, you have two different boards. There's the board that is the arrivals board, and there's the board that is the departures board. And Peter is talking about his departure. And those who long to come through arrivals, they have to first of all go through departures. And so it is in the Christian life. In order to get to where we really want to go to, in order to reach our eternal home, we first of all have to go through the departures lounge. And that is what death is. Peter speaks about his decease, about his departure. But he knows that that is not a thing of loss for him, but a thing of great gain. He is soon to depart from this earth. But those he leaves behind, he wants them to remember to follow Jesus Christ and to follow him wholeheartedly, and that it is in doing that that they will know great blessing. So we need just to be reminded again and again and again of the basics of a Christian life. Christianity is all about being followers of Jesus Christ, and we have to keep on following, and there is no other way. And that's the way to depart from this earth as a follower of Jesus Christ, that everyone knows that that was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they have departed, but they've arrived. They've arrived at their destination, and they are not disappointed with where they've gone to from this life of service. Remember, 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 Peter tells us. Amen. We come now to God in prayer. I'm just going to mention in my prayer tonight a man that I met at the Banner of Truth conference. I think I mentioned him earlier. He is a missionary in Marseille in the south of France. And he's one of the four men that took the services in Nantes in the time when Andrew Little was having a sabbatical. Richard Davies is his name. When I saw his name, I thought, I know that name, but it looks like a Welshman's name. But he wasn't a Welshman, he's Scottish, and he was heading up north to Glenorchert Free Church to take services today before returning to Marseille, hopefully, if the French allow him to fly back into their airspace again. And He had been a missionary in some distant French-speaking islands, the Comoros Islands, and he's told of how there's about 800,000 people live on four main Comoros Islands. But he no longer works there, he works in Marseille, and there are 100,000 people from the Comoros Islands that now live in Marseille. He is a missionary to those people. They would be of Muslim background, French-speaking people. And of the 100,000 of them that are in Marseille, there are two Christians. And he and his wife, their ministry is to these people, seeking to reach these Muslim people from remote islands who are French speakers now living in Marseille. There's not many people in the world who are doing that kind of ministry. He's supported by EMF, and that's the work they're doing, trying to befriend people, and they have the opportunity to read the scriptures to people in their homes and to help them with practical things, and that's what they're seeking to do. They haven't seen any converts yet, and there only are those two believers among the 100,000 folk from those islands. And so we can remember people in working in challenging situations like that. Well, we come now to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the things that we know. We thank you for the things that you've taught us, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the great truths of the Bible that we have at least some grasp of. And we thank you, Lord, for those things that we can be reminded of because we already know those things. And we recognize from what Peter tells us that we just need to keep on being reminded of these things. And so, Lord, help us not to think it's pointless to keep on reading the Bible because we've read these things before, but help us to realize that that's exactly what we need to do. Keep on reading your word and keep on hearing your word proclaimed in public worship. Help us, O Lord, to remember those great truths of the gospel, and not just to know them as propositions, but to know them in our own experience, to embrace these things, to take them on board, to live by these things. And help us, O Lord, to remember also our mortality. And we see how Peter writes about his consciousness of that. And we pray that you will help us to strive to use whatever time we have left in this life in good ways. And we pray that you will help us to strive to grow in our faith and to seek to be signposts that point others in the right direction. Lord, we give thanks for the meeting in Ballylagan today. We thank you that congregation were able to unite in making out a call. And we pray, Lord, for them and for the congregation here in Kilrats, and pray, Lord, for myself in the middle and having to weigh up the possibilities for the future of continuing in Kilrats or of going to minister in Ballylagan. Pray, Lord, that you would be merciful, that you would lead clearly, that it would be a decision that I would be able to make with a clear conviction that is how you led. Pray the same for other men who are under call, that you would be merciful to them and help them, O Lord, in the choice that is set before them. We do pray, O God, that you will be raising up other men so that in the future there will be less vacancies, and we pray, O God, that you would be at work in and through this. We believe, O Lord, that all you bring about, you have good purposes in it, and we pray that there will be good experienced across the board, and that just pray that you would strengthen, O Lord, our trust in your own sovereign plans and ways. We thank you that you've thought about all things and that what you have planned will be the best that there is. We remember the work of our missionaries in Spain. We thank you for the city of Seville and for the gospel church there where Isaac Barakal serves as pastor. We thank you for the folk in the congregation. We praise you, Lord, for their faithfulness over the years. And we pray that you'll hear their prayers and that you'll give them the joy of seeing others coming among them, others coming to believe in Jesus Christ. And we pray for people who are meeting in little groups, that they would be united with the church there, and they would see the benefit of that. And we pray, O God, that you give Isaac great wisdom in his dealings with people of different kinds of backgrounds, and that he would find wise ways of handling folk and their different concerns and priorities. We pray, Lord, for those who serve as missionaries to people of other faiths, and pray for Richard Davies and his wife serving in Marseille. We pray that you'll help them in their efforts to reach out to the people of the Comoros Islands, those who have moved far from those islands to mainland France. And Lord, we pray that you would grant them success in that work, that people's eyes would be opened, that they would see the difference between the Christian faith that Richard speaks to them about and that he reads to them about in the scriptures, that they would see the difference between that and what they have been taught, that they would see the difference between the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran. And Lord, we pray that you'd open their eyes to the truth. We pray that there will be the beginnings of faith in Christ among those people, that it would spread among those here in Marseille, and that it would spread also back to their native islands, that you would do a wonderful thing among them. Help these missionaries to persevere in their work, and we pray that you'll give them encouragement, O Lord, that will help them to keep going. We pray that you'll provide them with others who will be supporters and will be a strength to them, that they wouldn't be left to do these things on their own, but they'd know that there are others praying for them, seeking to support them in that work. And Lord, we pray that there will be churches that would be willing to welcome these people if they come to believe in Jesus Christ and want to be a part of his worshipers. Lord, we give thanks now for all that you have in store for us in the days to come. We praise you, God, that you have thought of every day, of every need. And we pray that each day you will give us an awareness that it is a great God that we serve. We pray that you will help us truly to believe in you. Help us to remember each day the sinners that we are, but to remember the wonderful grace of God that covers over all our sin. And enable us, O Lord, to choose to again take up our cross and follow Christ. And Lord, we pray your forgiveness for all our sins. We pray that you'll be pleased to work among us in these days, and that you would move by your Holy Spirit, bringing about the good you intend from all our experiences and all our ways. Lord, hear us. Help us to be rememberers of your word, to be those who store that word of yours up within our hearts, and those who live that word out gladly in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing psalm this evening is Psalm 20. We sing the whole psalm to the tune Ombersley, number 23. Psalm 20. And I draw your attention in particular to stanza 5. In chariots some put confidence, and on their horses some rely. But we remember for defense the name of God, the Lord Most High. And we are to remember God as our defense. Our hope is to be in him. We're not to trust in the lesser things, but we are to look to him. We are to remember the name of God, because he is the Lord Most High. And remembering God is just absolutely central to Christian living. Psalm 20, we sing the whole psalm, and the tune is number 23. We stand to sing and remain standing then for the benediction. Now receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.